Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business. So should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
I am doing Millennial Ben.
Okay. Well,
Millennial Ben kind of jumped on that too quickly. We hadn't even bantered around yet.
Yeah, he couldn't wait.
I know.
I didn't even get a chance to say it's presented by Breaks Plus.
Yeah.
All right, here's the question. All right, Mark, if these drafts aren't as good as everybody claims they are, then what do you do about it?
I mean, obviously you have to draft better. I think
keep going.
You have to draft better. You have to change your philosophical approach to the draft.
But I thought they did that 2 years ago.
You've got to shake up the people that are drafting.
Keep going.
you hate John Elway.
No, it's not. It's not.
You have to shake that. You've got to shake that up. That part, you've got to do a better job. To me, you have to do a better job of it. You've got to do a better job of how you go about your draft process and how you figure out. It's got to be more than athleticism, there's got to be more than just the athleticism part or the tape part. You've got to understand what you're drafting, what drives a guy. And I know it's never going to be an exact science and it's never going to be perfect, but it's got to be better than it was. And the same goes for your free agent acquisitions.
Yeah, here's the thing. I'm not buying the idea that these last two drafts are clear-cut examples that the Broncos have figured it out. And to be fair, let's include Gary Kubiak in that, because when Kubes was involved in the front office and the draft just looked different in terms of the type of players that they were going after. They were going after guys that were productive in college. They were going after guys that were captains in college. And that included somebody like a Deshaun Hamilton. And when he was drafted, my hands up. It was like, wow, this represents a real change. I like this. And maybe Gary Kubiak's role in this is being felt. And it's important to mention. Well, if now here we are with the benefit of watching these last couple classes and it's not jumping out as much at us as it did draft night, then yeah, we got to say, hey, Gary did not make the kind of impact that was hoped for. Here's the thing. John Elway's not going anywhere. Okay. We can talk all you want. I think this team needs a whole new approach when it comes to evaluating players and bringing in players. I would start from scratch. Okay. I would start with a whole new football personnel department. But that's not going to happen. So what's realistic? You got to change the people around John. You got to bring in more people, different people, younger people, different ideas. This is a front office that's one of the smallest in the entire NFL when it comes to overall scouting and personnel people. So you want an answer as to what I would do? That's where it's got to start, because no, I don't believe that the current front office has suddenly figured it out based on these last two drafts. We just went through the whole list. And for the texter who says, hey, listen, the idea of the draft is to find some starters and depth guys. No, it isn't. You got to, for a team that's in the situation that the Broncos are in, you have to come away from drafts and be able to easily identify guys that are not only going to be starters, but are going to be Pro Bowl caliber players and can be looked upon as somebody that could be in the Hall of Fame someday. If this thing is going to turn around to the point where we're back competing for Super Bowls, right? Mm-hmm. Then you have to come away from some of these drafts convinced that you're getting some of these kind of players. And we just went through the list of the last 2 years. We were able to find some Pro Bowl caliber players, but I mean, I'm talking about great players, guys who you can easily look at and say, will be within the next few years easily talked about as among the top five at the position they play. And outside right now of Courtland Sutton, can you find another one? Philip Lindsay's a nice player, but top five at his position?
Yeah, Bradley Chubb could be. Before.
Yes.
But the other thing I would tell you is that from a continuity standpoint, you have got to have continuity within your organization to make sure that the front office is tied together with the coaching staff to make sure that you're getting the players that best fit the program. You know, I mean, you've got to adapt your coaching style and your coaching philosophies based upon the people you have. But if you can be lockstep in those things, you know, I mean, then you've got a chance to be really successful when that front office is getting exactly the type of players that coaching staff wants that fits into kind of their philosophical approach to football. And I believe that's an important aspect of, you know, of what you have to have. And when you don't have continuity because you change the coach, you know, every 2 years, and some of it's not your fault, obviously, but when that happens, it makes it really hard to be successful.
Let us welcome in our pal Adam Schefter. We get a chance to visit with him each and every week, presented by your Front Range Mercedes-Benz dealers. Chance to go around the NFL and also get his thoughts on the Broncos. Adam, good morning.
Good morning, guys. What's going on?
Not a whole lot, Adam. How are you, my friend?
Snake, I had that kidney stone that you had last week. It was quite the experience. I was thinking of you the entire time. Did you pass it before you played in the Monday night game, or had you not passed it yet?
I had it surgically removed Sunday night, and then checked out of the hospital and went and played Monday.
Yeah, you know, it was they were going to surgically remove it from me on Saturday so that I could go through the show in Bristol on Sunday. And literally, as we were getting ready for the surgery, bam, took care of itself. So there we go.
Nice. I'm glad, because I know, you know, how devastating that can be and how painful that can be. So,
Wait, hold on. Now I'm kind of curious. I've never had a kidney stone. I've heard they're like worse than trying to bear children. So, Adam, now having gone through it, what would you say?
I had it for 5 days, and I was in the hospital two separate times. And I was with various people, and what you heard is what all the doctors told me. Like, they have treated women who have given birth and passed kidney stones, and they said they would prefer to give birth again rather than to pass a kidney stone. That's what they said. That's what the woman that they treated said. I can tell you from my experience, it was certainly one of the most uncomfortable, unpleasant experiences I've ever had in my life.
But you went through it.
I'm not a very tough guy to begin with.
Well, I wanted to ask you, dude, do you now look at yourself in the mirror and go, hey, you are one tough SOB?
No, I definitely don't look in the mirror and say that about myself. I just, you know, my wife laughs about my pain threshold because it's so low, unlike Stinks. But it was just basically 5 days of intermittent but extensive and excessive pain, cramps. Headache. It was just brutal. It was really brutal.
It's just miserable. Absolutely miserable. You know what wasn't miserable last week for us, though, Adam? We got a little look at Drew Lock. So, kind of assess what you think of Drew Lock in the first start of his Bronco career.
I thought it was an encouraging beginning. I thought that he showed some things that you'd want to see. Again, I want to see it over the course of the season, because I remember the first game that Daniel Jones played for the Giants was at Tampa, I believe. And, like, he lit up the Buccaneers for, like, 35 points, leads a victory. And then after that, he kind of came back to earth a little bit. Because I think that sometimes maybe defenses don't know exactly what this guy's going to be doing, how he's going to be operating, and it catches everybody by surprise. And then once teams get a look, then they can game plan it a little bit more. So I want to see Drew Lock over the course of a full season. He's got back-to-back road games next week at Houston, at Kansas City. That will provide more of a glimpse. But there were some encouraging signs. You like what you saw, and now let's see it over a longer period of time.
There has been growing speculation around here, Adam, that offensive coordinator Rich Scangarello is coaching for his job over these final 4 weeks. Do you agree with that?
Mm-hmm. You know, this keeps coming up. I keep being asked, and I'm not saying it's not true. I just haven't heard that to be true. I don't know that. I just know that every team makes changes at the end of the year. And the more losing you do, the more changes you make. And I don't think Denver's particularly pleased with the season that it's had. So I figure there'll be some changes. I don't know where they start. I don't know whether they involve Richard. I know when they got him, you're really happy to have him. So I guess maybe I'd be a little surprised, but anything's possible.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, that's interesting. And I think, and I know this is hard, Adam, but your experience, you've covered this league forever. How important in your mind is continuity from a coaching staff standpoint, from a player standpoint? How important is that for an organization?
Well, I look, you just look at the winningest teams in football or sports, and it just seems like they're not doing what the Cleveland Browns do on a year-to-year basis. You know, they're not changing out coaches. They're sticking by the same people. They're being a model of stability. Stability provides productivity. Productivity provides results that you want. I mean, we all know this. Like, this is pretty obvious. There are times to make changes, and Denver's made more than its fair share of changes over the years. But I think, just generally speaking, the more you can leave things the same, the better off you'll be.
Let's go around the NFL. Is Jerry Jones prepared to leave things the way they are in regards to Jason Garrett?
You know, Mike, he's left things the way they are for a long period of time. And in the calls of people screaming out for Jason Garrett's job over the last decade plus, which is what it's been, he's basically stayed the course. And so I think this time there's just been too much talk, too much speculation, too much scrutiny. I think short of Dallas having a meaningful, memorable playoff run, whatever that is, and I think we all would know it if and when we saw it, I don't think Jason Garrett's back. And they don't have to fire him because his contract is up. So basically, they say, you know, at the end of the year, I mean, literally, they don't do any press conference or anything. Like, his contract's up. So they could just go hire a new coach. We could just hear that one day. Hey, the Dallas Cowboys have hired, you know, Mark Schlereth to go coach the team. And there it is. Like, they didn't even fire Jason Garrett.
I didn't even know I was up for the job. This is great. This is great news.
I'd love to see you work with Jerry. That'd be awesome.
Hey, what's going on in Cleveland? Freddie Kitchens, you know, at some point you're standing in front of the mirror with that T-shirt on, and you have to, you know, you have to go, all right, I'm going to leave the house now. Like, at some point you've got to be an adult. What are they going to do in Cleveland?
Well, you know, for those who don't know, what you're referring to is the fact that over the weekend, last weekend, Freddie Kitchens was spotted wearing a shirt that said Pittsburgh started it. Now, I happen to be in the hospital Saturday morning when the picture was sent to me. I'm looking at this, I'm going, is this Photoshop? Is this real? Let me check. So we check, and we were told, yes, it is real. And not only is it real, but we reached out to the Browns, and they said, well, Freddie's daughters gave him the T-shirt as a joke. And it was his birthday. I think it might have been his 40th birthday. And they were out, you know, having fun. And that was part of the birthday fun as it was. Now, listen, I got no problem, right? Like, just think, if one of your daughters or your son wants to give you a T-shirt, you know, or that mocks the station, your radio station or your TV network on air, or a rival, and you want to wear that in your house, great. Now, if you're going to wear that shirt out of the house, number one, that's probably not recommended. Number two, you should probably have it covered up. Number three, you certainly shouldn't be taking pictures with other people wearing that shirt, okay, so it could be disseminated across social media. So it's just a question of judgment. It's just a question of, again, if Freddie wants to wear that shirt in his house with his daughters together to him and laugh it up, have at it. When you start doing that in the public domain, you're opening yourself up to criticisms and scrutiny. And that's what he did in this particular case. And it just, you know, for a head coach to act that way, there are going to be questions that are raised that are going to be discussed. And you have to figure that factors into whether or not they decide to keep him or not.
What's next for Ron Rivera? Who's the next coach of the Carolina Panthers?
Well, I think first of all, he'll be on the circuit. And he'll be getting interviews for head coaching jobs because, you know, there'll be six, seven openings after this season, and I would think that he'll get interviews in a lot of the places because he's a great man and he's a good football coach. I don't know whether he gets one of the jobs. We'll see. As for the Panthers, I think David Tepper clearly had some ideas about what he wants to do. I think he wants to overhaul his organization, recreate the structure of it, come up with a different format. He pointed out in the release, which is very odd. I've never seen this in a release before. I want to hire an assistant GM, and I want to hire a vice president of football operations. So he clearly has a vision for what he wants to do with this team. And he had people that he wanted to speak to now, whoever they are. And I can't say I know. I don't. But Mike McCarthy is out there right now. You can go speak to him if he wants. You can go speak to college coaches if that's what he chooses to do. But he doesn't have to wait. He doesn't have to sneak behind Ron Rivera's back, and he can get busy with the search right now.
What does it mean for Cam Newton? Do you read anything into Cam Newton, the injury, and his future there?
I don't think it does, only because of this. Making the football decisions from the front office? No. Do we know who's coaching the team? No. Do we know the type of offense that the coach likes? No, we don't know who the coach is. So how can we render a verdict on Cam Newton's future or say how it impacts his future when we don't even know who the decision makers involved are going to be?
All right. That's a good tour around the NFL.
Yeah.
I like it. Good stuff, Adam. And we're glad that you feel better. And, man, you're just a tough guy. You're a tough guy. You're Mark Schlereth tough, man.
Baker Mayfield's mom did not raise me. I'll say that.
All right, Adam.
Did you hear what Baker Mayfield said yesterday?
Yeah, something about his mom saying he's, I don't know. What exactly was it? I saw it today.
They asked him if he's going to play something. He said, my mama didn't raise a wuss.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm just saying, I wasn't raised by Baker Mayfield's mama. That's all I'm saying.
Mama didn't raise a wuss. All right, Adam, thank you.
Guys, have a great day.
All right,
you
there's
too, buddy.
Adam Schefter. He is presented by your Front Range Mercedes-Benz dealers. See, that's back to Baker, you know? Good old Baker. Baker is fast climbing into the Brock Osweiler upper echelon of winning press conference, right? Mama didn't raise no wuss, right?
Mm-hmm.
See, this is why I cringe when people listen to Drew Locke yesterday and they're like, well, you know, you listen to him talk, you know, you can tell he's got a certain amount of swagger, a certain amount of moxie,
right.
You know, he knows how to handle himself. I mean, who cares about all that stuff, right?
Right.
Who cares? I can't wait for Drew Locke.
I'm not done, Elway.
To hopefully become the clear-cut franchise quarterback here, and 7 years from now, he's saying the press conference equivalent of I couldn't care less about your fantasy team.
Yes.
Go give us the full Brian Greasy.
Right.
Still one of the best all time. Our man Greasy was asked, how does he feel? You know, because this was kind of like when fantasy football was taking off, and he was asked about, you know, do people come up to you and say, you know, I've got you as my fantasy football quarterback, and I need you to put up points. He just looked with scorn at the person, just dripping with sarcasm. Just said, I couldn't care less about your fantasy football team.
Right.
I was just like, wow.
You're like, that's good.
That's cool.
I'm with you.
Mama didn't raise no. Shut up, Baker.
But seriously, how do you expect your players to behave when your head coach decides that that's a good idea? That wearing that T-shirt out in public is funny. Like, how do you expect? How do you expect your team to behave, right? That stuff to me is you kind of get what you deserve. And if it's okay for your head coach to wear that and then to come out with, my daughters gave it to me. I don't give a rip who gave it to you. Like, does that make it any less stupid to wear it out in public that your daughters gave it to you? Let's blame my daughters. They're young. They can handle it. They've got broader shoulders than I do. Like, that doesn't excuse your stupidity. Oh, my daughters gave it to me. So you wonder why, like, you know, you wonder why your players don't take responsibility, or your player's going to win a press conference, or why you can't win diddly poo. I mean, those are the type of things to me that they matter. They just matter. So, you know, you can sit there and make excuses all day long, as you know. But I just think the bottom line, Mike, is it just is you can't be any dumber than that. And, you know, and if that's what you are from a business standpoint, from a franchise standpoint, if that's the decisions your head coach is making, how can you hold your players accountable for making better decisions when your head coach is making that same decision? And you're the one from an ownership standpoint that signed the guy, that hired him. That's on you.
Texter asked, Mike, what's so bad about what Baker said? Too toxic for you? Oh, it's not too toxic. It goes down under the same category of why we used to good-naturedly bust Brock Osweiler's onions about it. You know, like, you know, come on. I mean, Brock, you're awesome when you get up there on Wednesday and talk to the media, and then you go out and play. And then all of a sudden, you know, what happened, right?
Right.
So, you know, I'm watching Baker Mayfield. We're doing our pregame show at View House Littleton, and they've got all the games, of course. And Baker has just thrown, you know, they just got the ball back with a chance to go down the field. You know, this right. is what you draft a guy number one overall for, right? To go down the field and lead your team back to victory, right?
Right.
On the road against a division opponent, rival game, right? And within like two plays of the drive starting, he threw a game-ending pick. And then they went to commercial. Immediately, it was one of Baker's insurance right. commercials in the stadium, right? And I'm just laughing. I'm like, that's Baker Mayfield. All hat, no cattle. That's a joke.
All hat.
That's an Irv. Oh. I think, I don't know if that was Irv or Joe. I think that was Joe. I think that's Joe.
I
stole that from Joe. I'm giving credit. I'm like you.
You know what I'm
doing. I give credit to Joe Williams.
You know what I'm doing right now, don't you?
You're writing that down.
All hat.
No cattle.
No cattle.
Right. That's Baker Mayfield. So, great. He gets up and he says all these... It's not that it's too toxic for me. It's just that he looks like a clown when he says things like that, and then goes out and is currently third in the NFL for most interceptions thrown by a quarterback.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about. Not that it's... It hurts my feelings. He just doesn't hurt my feelings. He looks like a clown.
Yeah, that and that is. I mean, therein lies the rub for me too. Is that, dude? You look like an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's what? There's a bunch of old sayings, but the bottom line, you don't have to tell people how great you are. If you're really great, people will tell you how great you are. You know what I mean? You don't have to go
showtime
and pump your tires. You don't have to go out there and sell people on your greatness. I know Michael Jordan had a comment about that. Like, well, I'll let everybody else talk about that. You know, I'll just keep going out here and doing what I do. It just always feels fraudulent to me. It always feels made up. It always feels like, let me puff out my chest with some bravado here. Just to ask me how good I am, I'll tell you. It just doesn't feel real.
We got a Jackson 5!
That's
we
right.
We got a Jackson 5.
Hey, why do you don't need to talk up yourself when you got Joe Tessitore to do it for you.
Man.
Showtime!
I wish I had Joe Tessitore.
We got a Jackson 5!
Just following me around, being my hype man.
Yes.
Could you imagine?
You know?
Look at him open the door! What a muscle pig!
Yeah.
You know?
Like, I'm really proud of the lights I put up around my house, you know? I think I'm now dominating the neighborhood yet again, but I can't say that. I need Joe Tess to say it for me.
Oh.
Look at those lights!
Right. What would he say about your lights? It would be like, we got a Jackson 5. Yeah. Well, what would it be?
This is the king of the LEDs! No?
No. It's got to be something. It's got to be something, you know, something about, like, let there be light.
Linger.
You know,
so,
you know, something.
Yes, you're right. It would be something like that.
It would just be something glorious.
Yeah, I guess it's big hat, no cattle.
Linger.
All hat, no cattle. Big hat, no cattle. Well, it's same thing.
All hat, no cattle.
Same thing.
All hat, no cattle. That works for me.
I know Joe Williams did not make it up, but he made it famous. How about that?
I will tell you this.
That's Joe.
I may have to work that into the broadcast this weekend. All hat, no cattle.
Regarding who?
I don't know yet.
Who's an all hat, no cattle guy in your scintillating matchup there between Jacksonville and the Chargers? Is it Phillip?
Ooh.
Knock on wood. Ooh.
Well, he's got a bolo. He's all bolo. No boots.
I don't know what that means.
All
bolo, no boots.
All bolo, no boots.
I guess you can ask Phillip about that when you talk to him. Okay, great.
All right,
more, let's hear from the peeps. The peeps are fired up right now, so let's hear from them coming up. Next.
Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business. So should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank Business. Banking for good. Member FDIC.
Got to give the 8 a.m. texters credit where credit is due. They have got me legitimately laughing out loud here. So we started talking about how wouldn't it be great if somebody like Joe Tessitore could just be in your life, just shouting from the rooftops your special accomplishments, you know?
Yeah.
We got a Jackson 5!
Just
be awesome.
Not you having to do it.
It's showtime!
Just having Tess do it for you, right?
Just your own personal... Like, I think there's a business in that. Like, there is you could create your own cottage industry.
Right.
Joe Test, like, hype man industry.
Right. Like, I'm very proud of my light work, you know, my Christmas light work.
Sure.
I put a lot of time into it.
You should be.
Put a lot of thought into it. Mm-hmm. I'm very proud of it. You know, when that first, like, yesterday was the first day where I lit it all up, and I was very, very proud, right?
Right.
But I can't say that, you know? So, I mean, like, how would Joe Test say it? And without even asking.
Right.
People just started coming up with some ideas. Like, so just imagine Tess doing it. It's a Griswold special, right?
Mm-hmm,
just
mm-hmm,
looks
mm-hmm.
like Vegas at the Evans house.
Right. I like that.
You like that one.
Give me some. How about this one?
Move over, Paris. There's a new city of lights.
Ooh.
Huh?
It's the City of Lights.
Wow.
I like that it's the City of Lights. Can you shorten it up a little bit?
Right.
Because he's just like, showtime, or we got a Jackson 5.
That's true.
Evans House, the City of Lights.
Say hello to Mr. Edison.
Oh, that's good.
It's science.
Scoot over, Clark. Evans is in town. Right? Clark Griswold?
Right.
Right. I like that. Or move it. This is the kind of stuff.
Here's one. We've got another Evans litmus.
Litmus. He passes the litmus test.
Can you put me in touch with Joe? I gotta have Joe like
voice these
for me.
Gosh.
Could he do that for him? That'd be great.
That would be so awesome.
We got to get like a bunch of liners for Joe Test just for this show. He'll do it, wouldn't he? Wouldn't he be great?
To read them?
Huh?
Well, I don't know.
Lose some of its punch?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't know that would, I don't know where he is with that. Like, does he like to kind of goof on some?
Look, if he felt idiosyncrasies. If he felt embarrassed at all about his over the top nature with Showtime, it doesn't seem like he's been
humbled at all when he drops "We Got a Jackson 5" on us. I think he's enjoying himself.
We got a Jackson 5!
Does that sound like right there like a guy who is the least bit timid?
No.
Remember, for it to be a forward pass, it's got to go forward.
Mm-hmm. On this one. Feliz Navidad!
Feliz Navidad. You know, as I always, by the way, as I always say,
oh,
Mike,
man. Yeah.
And you know,
why do we do this show? It bears repeating again.
Right. I do what I do for a living simply to entertain myself, guys.
That's right.
It's the only reason I do what I do.
That's right.
So, like,
we're laughing,
I always
that's
say,
all we care about.
Right. If you don't like it, I mean, that's on you, really.
Yeah.
I do the games to entertain myself. Sometimes I just chuckle at some of the stupid stuff I say, and then I move on. And people are like,
"Are you not entertained?"
Yeah, I am completely entertained.
Feliz Navidad.
Right.
Good. Oh, well, no, we give the 8 a.m. texters a lot of grief, but you stepped up and made me laugh. That's all I care about. So, Joe Tess. Oh, all right. Where were we? Seriously,
I don't know.
Where were we?
I don't know, but I'll tell you something funny. Like, my wife just sent me some pictures of our youngest granddaughter, Drew, and she's got this big green bow in her hair. And so I FaceTimed my wife yesterday. And, you know, little kids, that she's using the potty, you know? She's in the bathroom, and she got this big bow in her hair. So I'm like, "Hi." And she's like, "Hi, Popo." And, you know, and so we're having a conversation, and she's using the facilities, you know, and then I'm talking to my wife. She hops off the toilet, and they flush it, and her bow is on top of her head, and it fell off her head into the toilet, went down the toilet. And instantly, I'm like talking. One second, I'm talking to her. Next second, she's just screaming bloody murder because she lost her bow, you know, crying. And she's got a big green bow in her head right now. This is the cutest picture ever.
I think you're just jealous that she gets to FaceTime from the potty.
Oh, I'll FaceTime you from the potty.
Oh, really? You've never done that before.
No, I'm a social
pooper. Stop.
I'll talk to you and stuff. I'm a social pooper. You're not?
Oh,
you gotta,
no! Who is?
I'll keep the door open.
God, please, no!
I mean, I've talked on the phone, but FaceTime?
Oh, that bothers you? Hey, what's going on? I'm just here taking care of a little business.
All right.
Seeing a man about a dog.
Okay, that segment is mercifully over. We will get back into real sports talk, because I know those texts are coming. Stop having so much fun. Stop laughing. Talk sports, darn it.
Right, right.
Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad.
That is Joe Tess right there, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's get into... I want to go back to something that our buddy James Marilat was on with us. The idea that Vic Fangio should take a page from John Elway when it comes to Drew Locke. We'll tell you about that next. I guess such are the times we live in that there's a lot of discussion and debate about how a coach talks about a player and the idea that, boy, shouldn't Vic Fangio be a little bit more, you know, publicly supportive or happy or a little bit more rah-rah when talking about Drew Locke. Here's an example.
Just that I think he did a good job handling the situation. Pre-snap, emotionally, didn't feel like it got too big for him at any point in the game. That was kind of the most encouraging.
Then he also had, Millennial Ben, if you could, get a little Fangio 4. Here you go. Here's some more from Vic.
You know, just some better throws in some situations, a little bit more accuracy. Just general improvement all the way across the board. And obviously the one thing that everybody notices is the throws. So I thought he missed a couple the other day, but that's to be expected. Hopefully he misses less this game.
Yeah, just kind of a, you know, calm, even keel assessment. Then you have John Elway at DenverBroncos.com on Elway Access talking about Locke.
You know, I thought he did a nice job. It's always hard as quarterback. I can still, 30 years ago, remember my first start and how fast things were moving around. And so he did a real nice job. I was excited to see what he did. And you know, I think the key thing for him is, you know, he's a little bit rusty. You know, I think that we saw a couple of throws that he probably normally won't miss that because of the layoff that he had being on IR for 12 weeks. So, but other than that, you know, he was seeing things well. It was slowing down for him after that first series. He was able to repeat back what he saw and the key thing for a quarterback is you have to have a reason why you do things and to be able to say, I saw this, I saw that, and that's why I did this. And so to be able to see that from a first start is a real good sign.
Now, understand what we're talking about here. At first blush, your thought is, wait a minute, why does a coach have to come out publicly and say nice things about his player? Until you realize that a lot of coaches, managers in all sports are being hired with that reason in mind, that, hey, he can reach younger players. Hey, he can communicate with young players. I mean, you see it especially all the time now in baseball. You know, the idea that every hire that is made is started with the idea that, like the Mets, for example, just hired Carlos Beltran as their manager.
Right.
And the debate was, well, do you go with a Carlos Beltran who's just recently removed from playing the game and probably will be able to really relate to today's players, or do you go with an old school like guy like Joe Girardi, for example, right?
Right.
So it's talked about all the time, so clearly it matters to a lot of these teams that are picking their coaches and managers based on it. So should Vic Fangio be more publicly mama catting of Drew Locke?
See, here's I think what the problem is with that. You know, we all have this, you know, thought process or, you know, predisposition to who is good at, you know, communicating, who is not. And, you know, in this kind of skewed narrative that if a guy is younger, he's going to relate a little bit better, you know, and this, that, and the other. And, you know, you and I know that to be not true. I mean, you can either communicate with people or you can't. It doesn't, your age really doesn't matter. And you and I watched the 49ers come in here and we watched one coach that has been, that probably if anybody knew who he was, would be considered kind of an old school throwback. His name is Chris Kocurek. He's the defensive line coach of the San Francisco 49ers. And he is screaming, yelling, cussing, like he is getting after, correct? You remember watching
him. You and I were watching him about 15 feet away. The guy had more of a sweat than his players did.
And it was exciting, right?
And it was infectious.
Yeah, for me, it was the way I was coached my whole career, you know? And so I dug it. And he's in the faces of players, and he's going to town. And I actually talked to him in San Francisco when I was calling a 49er game. And, you know, we were just chatting. And I was just like, hey, listen, man, I know this is day and age when, you know, some of that coaching, you know, becomes taboo. But I just said, I want you to know I appreciate it. And he goes, well, thank you. He goes, it's the only way I know how to do it, and I'm not changing. And you know who's probably playing as well as any group in the NFL right now? Seriously, the D-line of the 49ers.
Yeah.
They're playing as well as any group in football, bar none. Now, I'm not saying you have to do it that way. There are a million different ways to do it. But if that's who you are, then be who you are. Like, that's all I'm saying in this is you gotta be you. And to me, if that's, you know, if that's, Vic Fangio is, you know, throwing around compliments like manhole covers, then be you, man. Yeah. You know, don't be all bolos and no boots. If you're gonna put on a bolo, you better have boots. That thing is sticking.
Yeah.
I gotta be able to say it.
Yes, you kind of stop. Yeah, you kind of.
If I'm gonna make it stick, right. It's gotta come out.
That's
correctly.
All right. Keep using right, it until it gets a little.
Can you
smoother.
Rewind that?
Right,
can
yep.
you rewind that, Benny? Here's what I appreciate about Vic. You know what? He's not all bolo.
Oh, jeez.
Rewind one more time.
Yeah, one more time.
Okay, here's what I appreciate about Vic. He's not all bolos and no boots. I mean, he's got the bolo and the boots. It's going to stick. It's going to stick.
I'll tell you.
It's going to stick.
Thank goodness you get another take.
I was beginning to give up on you.
It's great to see you, man. It's great to see you, O'Neal. It took me a while to get here from the airport. I get small town transportation. So this is Springfield.
This is it in all of its glory. You know what? Maybe you should do a little research while you're here. That way you can write your next book about a small town.
It's pretty, I can't remember what I was supposed to say.
Pretty quiet around here.
Pretty quiet around here. Let me do that again.
No problem. Sorry.
You know what's funny is that now we have cameras here in the studio so you can watch us.
Uh-huh.
Like you can see me right now staring lovingly at the Mark Schlereth giant fathead that's
right.
here in the studio. But every time I lead you into that drop, I always do the same thing. I always sit back in my chair and lean back with my arms around, my hands kind of clasped behind my head with just a good old satisfied smile on my face.
You know, and the thing about it is I never see it coming.
Nope.
That is one, like, you try to get me with an oh, really, I usually see it coming from a mile away. But that one, I just never, like, I'm never prepared for it. And then as soon as I hear Ben, you know, that there's a pause and he's, like, pushing play, I'm like, you got me again. You got me. I was not ready for it.
Mm-hmm. All bolo and no boots.
All bolo and no boots.
So you're going to talk to Philip when? Tomorrow?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll talk
Saturday.
To Philip on
Saturday, right?
Saturday.
You've talked to Philip before, right? You've done it. Yeah, you've done some charging games.
Yeah.
Philip
yeah.
a good guy?
Philip's a great dude. He's
remember,
actually,
you're talking to Broncos country that is conditioned to not like him.
He's a really good guy. Philip is a good... Yeah, I mean... Like, he loves to mix it up, you know? He loves to talk a little smack. Now, his smack talk is not, you know, I'm sure there's no cursing involved in Philip's smack talk.
No.
So it's probably, you know, I mean, it's...
You're close. Give them to me.
It's,
now.
It's probably very nerdy. Like, you know, kind of like up your nose with a rubber hose stuff, you know? Like, super nerd. That's I'm going to ask him to give me some of his smack talk. Like, I'm going to,
yeah,
you know
you
what?
Should, no, no, you're right. You need that would make a great segment during your broadcast.
Yeah.
What qualifies as trash talk for you?
Right.
He does.
No, Philip would never say that.
No.
Up your nose with a rubber hose.
Hey, woman, no, he wouldn't say that. Yeah, up your nose with a rubber hose. Or, hey, did you wear those Husky pants as a kid from Sears? You know, something really. It just, and it, the delivery
oh,
can't be.
Snap.
Yeah, the delivery's yeah. probably not.
He's
good.
Probably cordially invited somebody sometime.
Oh, yeah. He, you know there's that? No question. Yep. He's cordially invited somebody over to the house.
Yep.
For a barbecue.
Yeah, to spend time with his 10 kids. How many kids does he have now?
He's
eight?
Got
nine. Nine kids.
Niner.
Nine times.
Oof.
All right. On that note, anybody you want to, yeah, I mean, we've put
Just
it off for...
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan and Schlereth and Evans would like to formally apologize due to any potential hurt feelings while listening to today's show. And just a reminder, keep your chin up and stop being a baby.
Sorry.
Yeah, the last 2 days you didn't apologize to anybody because you were so fired up.
Right.
But, you know, today... Things got a little loose again, so my guess is you probably upset somebody.
I can't. I mean, I'm trying to think. Did I upset anybody? I can't think of anybody that I could have upset.
Ooh.
Ooh. No, I didn't upset her, did I?
Is she okay with her laugh now being part of the
I don't know, but
Library.
I have not gotten.
She's
any
now there with
her.
Kawhi, Chris Harris.
You know what? That's too bad.
Zach Bye.
Yeah, she's not listening because you know, she's posting pictures of the granddaughter in the house, so they don't have our show on. So. And we're home free.
Good.
You and I can say whatever we want.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So, no, I don't think I have any, I mean, I can't think of anybody that I should apologize to, Mike.
No, I can't either.
Yeah. No. So, if you are looking for an apology, pound sand. I'm not going to do it. You know what I am? I'm not all bolos and no boots. I got my boots on,
there
baby.
There you go. Okay, Dolo, let's not overdo it. Okay.
Did we get into too? Yeah, did I get into it. Too much?
Okay, yeah,
I will beat a dead horse.
You think?
I know that about myself.
You think? Okay, yeah. Time now for Sandy and Orlando. They're coming your way next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.